This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to The Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
Welcome to The Bicast, podcast for the bisexual community. Thank you, everyone, for waiting. We're happy to be here, and we have, of course, Will and RJ with us, and we're going to be talking about mixed orientation relationships. Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi. Great.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to be here. Nice to meet you.
So let's get started. We have some questions. We have Becca with us and John, and we have a guest host, M, RJ, Will's number one fan.
We sent some talking points along. RJ, did Will know you were bi in the beginning?
Yeah. Well, he knew that I identified as not gay initially.
Initially?
Yeah, like since the very beginning.
No, I thought you were like straight. Like, because you told me that you were straight. That's how you identified.
Yeah, that's very true. That's how I identified kind of at first, and then kind of shortly thereafter, still identified as bi after that, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. That's a very, like, Cliff Notes version.
Yeah, it was, but there was never, I mean, yeah, it went from, there wasn't a point where I identified as gay to Will. It was either straight in quotation marks,
right,
or bi.
Okay. So how long was that?
Process.
How long was the process? I mean, it was I'd say about like a 5 to 6 month process,
yeah,
maybe.
We didn't even call each other boyfriends until like 4 months in. And then like after that, you were just, it was a sprint to you coming out. So it was like a 5 to 6 month. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the process culminated, I think, at 8 months once I finally kind of went home to Tampa and told my family about it. But yeah, it was, I mean, in my mind, I had been just, you know, because I was brought up in the church and brought up in that whole doctrine of, oh, you can choose, you know, what impulses to act on, which was kind of true in my case. I had always thought that, you know, in the long run, I was going to end up, you know, married to a woman, and why bother kind of going through the process of coming out as bi if it was only going to just cast doubt on my eventual, you know, relationship that I was going to, you know, get married in. But then come to realize that, oh, wait, this is probably going to be the one that I get married in, so I might as well come clean.
Awesome. And you guys are engaged right now, aren't you?
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
Exciting. I love that picture of you asking him. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
I was completely oblivious.
So I'm sort of coming at it from the opposite point of view you're coming from. I'm bisexual and my partner's heterosexual. But what I want to ask you is, if you knew someone who was getting into a relationship like yours, you know, one gay man, one bisexual, what would you want them to know?
That if I had to give them advice, I would say, don't let yourself get hung up on labels, because then you're already setting yourself up for failure and all of these like false expectations of what your relationship should be. At the end of the day, the only thing that matters is how much the other person that you're in a relationship with respects you.
And
so
makes you happy.
Yeah, like they should, I mean, it's not their responsibility to make you happy,
sure,
but they should be honest and they should respect you. And you shouldn't paint this picture ahead of time of them just based on however they identify sexually. If they are genuinely interested in you and they respect you and you trust them and there's honesty and there's communication, there should be no hang up over the sexuality.
Yeah, I think kind of feeding off of that, a piece of advice that I would give is just kind of keep the line of communication open and try to keep an open mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because to a certain degree, there are going to be certain things that, you know, if you're not experienced in this field, that you're going to have, you know, I don't really fault Will for his initial concerns of like, oh, well, if you identify as bisexual, like, do you miss women? Do you miss being with women? Like, that's an okay question, as long as I'm able to kind of communicate that. I mean, I may or may not miss being with a woman physically, but what's more important than that is what we have is so much more, and I'm happy with that then.
Right.
Awesome. Next question. Relearning what sexuality and gender really is from the gay partner's perspective. It's a big shift in thinking to grasp sexual and gender fluidity, and probably one of the biggest hurdles. Will, did you have any problems understanding RJ's bisexuality?
I mean, honestly, like, I've never really given his sexuality much thought. I let him, because that's not really, like, that's not my path, and that's not my story to tell. And I kind of just let him go through the process of dealing with his own sexuality on his own terms, because that's, I mean, his sexuality has absolutely nothing to do with what other people think. At the end of the day, like, whenever he came out to his parents, he came out as bi, and I don't even think that, like, I really asked you. Mm-hmm. At that point, like, if you identified as bi or gay, I just kind of, like...
You're just like, whatever.
Yeah, I was like that from the whole... I mean, I'm still like that. It's just not... It's just a non... It doesn't matter. Issue. Non-issue, yeah.
I it was so weird, but I think Will has been, I think, one of my greatest... I don't even say mentors, but maybe role models as far as, you know, don't live your life for anybody else. So, and I can say very, very... you know, clearly that he does practice what he preaches, in the sense that he doesn't care, like, as long as I'm comfortable with the identity, he's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's all that matters. Like, your sexuality is your thing. Are you comfortable with it? You are? Great. Cool.
Cool. Yeah, so I can find that for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So his next question is, do you still have to deal with RJ being seen as gay now? And do you find you have to come out over and over again because of it? Because RJ, people see you with Will, so they're just like, oh, okay, gay couple, sure.
I mean, deal with, I think, is even, like, a strong term as far as, you know, for a vast majority of situations. I mean, I have to deal with people when they first meet me by myself, assuming that I'm straight. And I think that's the case for a lot of people that don't identify as straight. I have to deal with people assuming that I'm gay the minute they see me with Will. But... I mean, practically that doesn't matter as much, because usually they'll just say, oh, I thought you were gay. I'm like, no, I'm bi. And most of the time people are like, oh, okay. And that's kind of the end of the discussion.
Yeah. I think what's probably the most problematic is whenever, I mean, people, it's perfectly understandable for people to assume that both of us are gay because we're two men together. But then whenever RJ defends himself and says, oh, but I'm bi, they'll come back and say, but you're in a gay relationship. And that it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter the fact that we're two men. Like, he still has his own identity and I still have my identity. And anyone trying to, like, say, but aren't you this? Like, that's not really, like, their argument or any, like, that's not their position to say. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, out of all of the things, that would be probably the hardest.
Yeah, but really, even then, it's people almost never do that face-to-face. It's almost always, you know, the faceless commenters that are like, shut up, you're not actually bi.
Right. There's so many people that are like, wait, you're just trying to hide behind your bisexuality because you don't want to admit that you're gay. Like, okay, it seems like there's a lot of internalized homophobia there.
And that to a certain extent is just, you know, that's the internet for you. If they're not gonna give you shit for one thing, they're gonna give you shit for something else. So.
Yes, true, and you know. I've always wondered about what you're hiding behind your bisexuality. I would think it'd be easier just to say, well, I'm gay or something.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm hiding behind the identity that's much more difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's airtight logic.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to be a special kind of masochist to hide behind bisexual as an identity.
Yeah. Because so many people don't even, everyone sees it as a stepping stone.
Yeah. Sexuality. I would much rather people think that I don't exist than.
Exactly. whereas I have like the bi-curious thing, because with the Demi, I'm not like attracted to people unless I've got an emotional like relationship with them. And there's very few lesbian or even bi people around here for me to even remotely get a chance to get a connection with them. So I'm stuck saying, well, I've had a boyfriend for a year. I'm with him, but if a chance with a woman came up, I would consider it.
Right.
But because I don't have that opportunity, people just assume I'm definitely straight because I had a boyfriend for a year.
Yeah, that's something I'm super happy that is getting some attention now, demisexual. And
yeah.
I think that, like, I don't know, I'm really excited to see how society reacts to that, because, I mean, I have a friend who I had a long conversation with him about demisexuality. And it was that conversation with him that really opened my eyes. Like, oh my God, wow, there's like this whole other facet that I had never even known about. Because, I mean, it's not me. But it's awesome. I'm just so happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is, because what I've run across is there's a lot of, in my own experience, you know, with a certain person, they had no idea what asexuality was, and it was like a revelation to them to realize that they weren't like totally an alien because of it. And it was really, it was quite affirming for them. And you know, and I think that we're going to find out there are more people. And it, to me, I mean, and I think it is a true sexual orientation, and it really needs to have some more voice for it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm trying. But, that's the advantage of the internet is you can meet other people, because even on like Facebook group, okay, there's 500 people from across the world, but so obviously there's going to be a lot more than that. But there's people who found that one Facebook group.
Yeah, little by little.
I mean, one of the greatest things is that I shared an article about what demisexuality is. And within the space of an hour, three people from my university contacted me saying, thank you for sharing this. I actually have a word for this before.
Exactly.
I thought I was a freak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I love when people, you know, find something that fits. I think it's...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, totally. I mean, you know, there's definitely... I was talking to Elio Cruz, how he kind of really helped put into perspective how much... Because, you know, I think in a perfect world, obviously, labels don't exist. But in order to get there, we have to, you know, recognize all these different labels first to be able to recognize that there are so many different possibilities that exist. And then eventually people will just kind of figure out that, okay... You know, there's, you know, none of this really helps anybody trying to put people in boxes, so why don't we just kind of don't bother with it at all.
Yeah. Right, exactly. I think we need labels for, you know, community gathering and you know, it helps sort things out, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that, you know, we need labels, well, I don't call it labels, I call it, like, descriptions, so that we can form communities around like-minded people, and, you know, like, you know, bisexuality is an umbrella term. We should be fitting under, like, lots of these sub-labels of communities.
Mm.
And we need to do that because we have so many issues that are particular to people who are in the middle of sexualities.
Mm. Right.
And unless we have places to go, communities, umbrellas that they buy on them, we won't know where to go.
Mm, yeah, I think that's important too, because like we have these labels, and I think that it's important to. I think that's a great way of describing it, is that they're descriptions of like who you might be. But then there's so many. Whenever a kid goes through the coming out process, he's trying to find the cookie cutter that he fits to. And,
or that at least most closely describes their experience.
Right, yeah. And I
think it should be the fact. Okay, they're adjectives. They're part of you. But a bit like how you don't have your left-handed friend.
Right, exactly, exactly.
It's like you need to, I said, for instance, if you're getting scissors for people, like I'm in school, etc., you need to know they're left-handed so you can get the correct scissors, and like you can use the correct pronouns, but it should be, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah, and then like you move on.
Yeah,
and then,
we don't have a
whole conversation about left-handed people and how you know, special they are. And no, it's just...
Anymore.
I could say just the other umbrella community. Except for at Pride and maybe a couple of events, you will never see twink and bears together in the same space. But both of those communities identify as gay.
Right.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Just like all of the other sub-communities of LGBT, we have our own sub-community, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a spot. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's LGBT, and we have looking at our total community and what our needs are. And, you know, in terms of political action, in terms of, you know, social community, all those kind of things, I think we probably should move on now. You know, one of the things that you were talking about earlier is something we call orientation maintenance.
I'm sorry?
Orientation maintenance.
Maintenance.
Which is like when you're, you know, when especially when you're bisexual in a same or opposite sex relationship, you get misidentified a lot. And so doing the... orientational maintenance is basically telling people in the gay or straight community that you're identified as, no, I'm neither. I'm bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, things are different these days. It took me 11 years to come out to my partner, and that was 17 years ago. And
so happy 6th anniversary.
We're coming on 28 years together.
Wow, that was tough. Nice.
Yeah. So, and, you know, we're Xers, so we don't believe in marriage.
I don't understand that,
but things are a lot different today. I mean, and there are a lot of victories, and like it's great to see that younger people are able to come out, as whatever, gay, lesbian, bi, trans. This is a world that, you know, when I was growing up, really didn't exist. What's that? Spaceships landed. But you know, I think like there's.
We're having a lot of sound issues with that. Em, can we move on to the next question?
Yeah, I'm getting ready to right now. And so that was leading into the this question. Do you think it is important for bi curious people to make their partner aware of their orientation?
If I heard correctly, was the question, do you think it's important for bi and bi curious people to divulge that to their partners?
Yes, early.
Early. Obviously. I think in general, just, you know, honesty is generally just the best policy, vast majority of the difficulties we've had in our relationships around honesty. So I really feel like any difficulties that you may experience in the short term, bringing it up early kind of are vastly, easier than anything you may experience in the long term, because you weren't completely honest.
Yeah, I hope that we get to a point where sexuality and like how people identify won't be an issue. You just really base what you have with someone on what you have with someone, and not like what the expectations are between two sexualities coming together. But I think in this day and age, it is important because people need to get used to the fact that there are other couples than like heterosexual and homosexual. Like there are other sexualities.
Oh, and there's other different kinds of relationship too. Like some people think that, you know, a three-way relationship is best for them.
Yeah,
some people are able to be polyamorous, and that's fine too. You know, just like every person is different, every relationship that works for that person is different. Yeah, it's definitely, that is one thing that I do credit part of the LGBT community for, is kind of bringing more awareness to the fact that the traditional model may not work for, you know, for everybody. But and it's just really all about what works between you and the people you care about.
And that's okay. I mean,
yeah.
You know. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I think me and my boyfriend had it the best thing, because first date, before we technically start dating, we just had a would you rather stuff. And one of his questions was actually, would you rather kiss a boy or a girl? Which, considering he was a boy, he seemed slightly confused when I hesitated, but he said he would then ask to kiss me, so I was happy.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you know, I'll go back to honesty, for a lot of us, my generation was having kids. That really forced the issue for us, because we felt that, you know, when you have a baby, you really have to be completely honest with that child.
Yeah.
And your partner in that case, in this, my generation, that that kind of pushed many of us in our late 20s, early 30s, when we started, you know, having families to come out. I think that's really an important piece, is honesty. And some of the debates I get on social media, you know, come down to like being honest. And, like, don't you want us to really, like, live our authentic selves as to living in a closet.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also, you know, being honest and open, and especially when you are, you know, raising a family, it also in turn teaches your offspring and your children, the kids that you raise, to be more open-minded too.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on having children. I was like, I will never hide my sexuality from my children. I won't, like, it will be age-appropriate at every point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My main reason for that is I do not want my child to reach 13, 14, 15 and feel like there's anything they cannot talk to me about.
Right. Yeah, that's
so
that's
having
one,
that
yeah.
Well, quite important to me.
Right, and if on the off chance they, you know, are developing some sort of non-traditional attraction, you definitely want to be able to, you know, teach them not only that they can talk about it, but that it's okay. That,
you know, teach them how to be safe and
right.
All the other things parents will inevitably worry about.
Yes, obviously.
Well, it's also part, I mean, like, for us, it's part of living in a community that's pretty much, you know, a rainbow hippie ghetto, and, you know, raising your children in a place where it's normal to have two moms or two dads, you know? And that is, like, I do think, like, getting away from a bad space and finding places where people are open and friendly is so important, especially for raising your families.
That is true, but at the same time, you also don't want to, you know, have all of the, you know, kind of open-minded people pool into one community and then leave behind other communities that are kind of devoid of any diversity whatsoever. Because that then, you know, now you know, what if, God forbid, a child who is, you know, demisexual or bisexual or trans or gay or anything, you know, happens to live in one of those communities, then...
Yeah, because the community I'm in is, like, pretty open, but then, like, the school I went to, it didn't even cause much of a shockwave when two of the female teachers got married. The biggest complaint was, so you mean there's two, that which Mrs. whatever their surname is, are you talking about? It's like, there's two of them now? It's like the older one, the younger one? Like,
right.
Yeah, like, what do we call them now?
Well, yeah, I know that struggle.
They've got a kid now, so.
Okay.
It's one of those, I think eyebrows were raised because he was just like, oh, okay, we haven't had that before. Now, when's our mass homework?
I mean, I experienced that just because I'm named after my dad, so that's...
But there is a, you know, like, at least in America, there is a great, what we call the great sort, where, you know, we have the blue states becoming bluer and the red states becoming redder, and people are, like, sorting themselves in these spaces where, you know, they feel comfortable in.
Mm-hmm. Is his connection bad?
Yeah, he's been muted.
Okay. I guess, yeah, he was talking about, I guess, increased polarization kind of through isolation, which is definitely a factor, but I also feel like at the same time, we do live in a time that because, you know, information technology and all that makes, you know, communication on such a mass level so possible, you know, even when you have those very isolated pockets of kind of closed-minded thinking, there's still ways to kind of infiltrate and send messages of, you know, kind of peace and love and tolerance in there, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, back in the day, I mean, when, you know, a young gay person would come into the community, we would say that they came in off the first boat from West Virginia, which, of course, you know, a boat it was a joke, but, you know, and integrating them, you know, and I think of, like, song YMCA, was like, you know, like gathering ghetto community, the ghetto gay community, which is kind of breaking down now, but like there is still like the places, even in, you know, like in this city, I mean, with the millions that we have, there are places that are friendly and there are places that are not. In a workplace, you're going to find that people come from all over the place. and you know, you have to deal with that. You know, sending my kid off to college. You know, he found like very different world views within his own community there, and you know, but you also have to like have a base, and yeah, you know, it's really hard if you're a queer kid living in a really red state, ultra conservative place. You have the internet. You don't really have more than a few friends at best. But you know, that's something that I know we have to do better at, is to like,
okay,
you know, get so, down to places in this, places like in the South where it is harder.
Okay, so let's move on. We're getting close to being over an hour, or getting close to an hour. Becca, next question, please.
All right.
Next question, let me see. As far as I'm just looking at this, my dyslexia doesn't like me today. So we've been talking a lot about different issues, but what, from your point of view, is sort of the most persistent, most difficult issue to sort of deal with?
I mean, amongst, like, you're talking about within our relationship or just in general?
Yeah, like as...
Within your relationship, with other people, just... In general,
yeah.
I guess the only kind of struggle in our relationship that has been due to the fact that we're mixed orientation was really just kind of at the beginning, and the fact that like I would remark, oh, that girl's hot, and he would just be kind of like a little bit, I don't want to even say weirded out, but he would just be kind of like, he would just respond differently than if I were to say that guy is hot, because the minute I say a guy is hot, he can either say, oh, yes, he is, or what are you talking about? Are you crazy? We can at least, you know, that's a shared experience that we can have. Whereas if I remark on the, you know, attractiveness of a girl, he's just kind of like, okay, well, if you say so.
Yeah. I mean, the conversation kind of would always die right there, because I didn't really have much to add. But I don't know. I don't think that's been, like, the most difficult and persistent issue that was there for at the very beginning when,
but I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's been precisely sort of having to do with the fact that we're a mixed orientation relationship.
I would say like it was because it's from people that just bi erasure in general, and people always trying to like get you to admit to them because they think that they're going to be the one that understands you the best, and like, oh, and get you to come around and say that you're actually gay.
Right.
Like, so many people are like, but really, are you bi? But you're with Will. Like, are you bi? And you're just like, stop. Like, stop trying to...
But even that, I don't even consider that a problem within our relationship. I just consider that a greater problem at large.
Yeah.
And what's so, like, silly to me about that sort of tactic or that behavior is just, what do you expect? Do you expect me to just be like, oh my god, you're right, I've been pitting myself all along, and then did like break out into song or something about how you've saved me, you
so
commenter.
Happy I had this conversation.
You just, oh, thank god, you
not knowing myself.
The spell has been broken.
So,
what do you expect?
Like honestly, like within our relationship, our sexualities have very, very little sway over like how he and I go about our day-to-day life. At the end of the day, like, I mean, I guess from my perspective as a gay guy, I could date a gay guy, I could date a bi guy, I could date someone that identifies as straight, as long as they like respect me and they're honest with me. It doesn't, like, to me, that just doesn't matter to me.
I do think that that's part of, I think, why Will is just doesn't really care as much. Is like, I think, you know, you came from a community where any guy that you fooled around with identified as straight.
Right.
You're like,
it
whatever.
It didn't bother me. Like, I'm whatever. It's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to, like, have you, like, go through the motions on figuring out how you want to identify.
Yeah, it's wherever blows your skirt up.
Yeah.
Yeah. RJ, how did you come out to your friends who thought you were straight, and did it cause the issue with exes?
I guess there's really only one ex. Actually, none of the exes that I still kept in contact with had any kind of you know, a vast majority of my friends, I didn't even say I am this. I just said I'm dating Will. And I kind of let people draw their own conclusion from there. And then anyone who asked, I made sure to correct them. But other than that, I you know, what they think is, you know, I don't really concern myself too much with that. You know, if they misidentify me, then sure, I'm going to correct them. But other than that, I don't really, you know, what they think doesn't really have much to do with me.
Basically, you just don't give a shit, right?
Yeah, I try not to as much as possible. There's been only
one ex, and she like didn't care, and she meant anything.
Yeah, the one ex that I actually like was a serious at all with. You know, she what was so funny is we're out. You know, I told her after. You know, she was actually the one that took me out to a bar right after the night I came out to my parents. She's like, "You need to get out of the house. Come on. Come with me, let's go to the bar." And she just is like, whatever, could have, you know. The joke she said was, could have fooled me, but, you know, I don't even think we even had a conversation as far as, like, how do you identify? Because I think she knew that I wasn't, you know, phoning it in with her, that I actually, you know, was invested in the relationship. So I think she just knew.
Cool.
I've been fortunate enough to gravitate towards people that tend to be a little bit more, you know, relaxed and open-minded about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're pretty lucky. A lot of people don't have that opportunity to be around that kind of environment.
So right.
And that's why, I don't know, I think like with the position that we have with our social media presence, it's really important that we illustrate that RJ is bi, I'm gay, and it doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Look at like how we live our life, and look at how like the fact that he's bi and I'm gay doesn't affect how we raise our dog, or the fact that I really like Chipotle, or it doesn't like it comes.
You like video games, and I like movies.
Right, like it literally has like no effect on our life. Well, okay, I shouldn't say that. It has a very, very, a very small effect. Effect on our lives.
I think also part of it too has to deal with the fact that we are like committed and exclusive. I think that, you know, because all I really have to do is kind of just demonstrate that I'm committed to this, that, you know, it helps, I guess, or maybe it does kind of put your mind at ease or helps kind of reassure that has not anything to do with it or.
No,
you don't think that?
No.
I mean, like, I would expect that from anyone. So right, I don't think that I really had anything to do with your bi. It really is like you telling yourself that you have brown eyes. And okay, like if that's what you believe about yourself, it has like what you believe about yourself should have no bearing on what I think or what I no reverse that. What I think should have absolutely no bearing on how you identify. So sure.
Unless I ask you for guidance.
Right.
I want the words, our sexuality does not affect how we raise our dog, on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Like, literally, the only, that, and I try to, like, perpetuate this notion that the only reason, the only instance where sexuality matters is if you're having sex with someone. And, like, if you're not having sex with someone, it doesn't matter how they sit across from you when they're having coffee or how they walk past you on the street, like, literally, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
there's no inherent traits to each sexual orientation. We are just really basically people. And one orientation doesn't make us, like, really good at decorating or whatever, you know.
I wish I could, like, blade and have, like, all the strengths of gayness and all the strengths of straightness and just to combine into, like, a superhuman. Oh, my God, that'd be amazing.
Would it? Yeah.
Maybe that's why there's bi erasure and biphobia, because they're scared we are like these superhuman.
Yeah. They have everything. That's like the biggest loophole. Like, we are so intimidated by that.
I can lift weights and decorate.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's my brother. He's got a girlfriend. To my knowledge, she's completely straight. I was trying on dresses for prom, and I got a text from him saying, "What colour do you want in the living room?" And I got a text 5 minutes later going, "I'm painting it now. So pick a colour." And it's like, the living room hasn't been painted in a decade or two, so it needed painting, but in between his rugby matches, he was like, okay, fine, I'm going to go and paint the living room.
Sounds like a winner.
Lock that stud down.
I would say our biggest superpower as a bisexual is that we can see both worlds, you know, the gay and the straight world, and we're kind of in that, at best, we're ambassador of worlds.
Yes.
It is nice to be able to kind of shift focus and, like, you know, be in a conversation with a bunch of straight guys talking about, like, oh, how hot Scarlett Johansson is or whatever in a movie, and then shift to, you know, a conversation with a bunch of gay guys about how Bradley Cooper or Chris Evans or Chris Hemsworth, take your pick, you know. It does make the pool of possible conversation topics a bit bigger, but that's also, you know, dual identity has always kind of been my thing, as far as, like, I am Cuban, but I'm Caucasian. I am...
dual identity, like, it's, like, some kind of, like, Batman...
chimerism, yeah, basically. Like, well, there's a reason why, you know, the Griffin tattoo on my back is, you know, the first one that I got is because, I've always, you know, shape-shifting and, like, dual identity, you know, has always been, like, a thing that I've done, just sort of adapting to my surroundings, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Em, can we move on to the next question?
Yep. So, Will, was it easy to adjust to being with a guy who also openly found women attractive, or did you get caught off guard by some of RJ's comments? You kind of answered this already, but...
Yeah, I guess, like, whenever he would admire other women, and I don't, like, I'm not one of those people in a relationship that gets incredibly jealous whenever he happens to look at another person and admire him, because I do the exact same thing, and I'm not, I mean, humans are humans. I don't think that we should stifle, like, those instincts and shame ourselves almost for admiring other people. I couldn't really empathize with him, so that caused a little bit of awkwardness, but it wasn't as if I was ever angry or,
Yeah, it never kind of
escalated,
zero converted, you know, where it's like, you know, it never converted into the anger like it does with some people.
Right. It was almost like someone who knows astrophysics talking to me about something that I just don't understand. And I'm just like, okay, like, I can't really talk about it because I don't really have much experience in that department. But,
I've got an exam on astrophysics in June. I'm not looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
There are instances where, like, you, like, friends of yours, female friends of yours, where you're like, she is a beautiful woman.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, and that's, like, different than, like, lustful thoughts.
Oh, true.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I can appreciate beauty, but, I mean, when it comes to, like, lustful thoughts, I'm like, no.
That's the thing with demisexuality in some ways. It's kind of like, yes, I can recognize they're good looking, but would I actually want to be, like, in bed with them or even just kiss them? It's like, no, kissing is kind of like borderline, but it's more just do I want to be in bed with them?
You're the opposite of Connor Walsh in How to Get Away with Murder, basically.
Oh.
There's a great quote. I think it was John Barrowman who said first, "I'm gay, not blind."
Oh, true.
Yeah, I love John Barrowman. I skipped season 9. Good evening.
But yeah, you don't want to shame blind people.
Yeah, but, like,
admiring a set of beauty, that's there's nothing. Everybody can do that, and I think we all should learn how to do that.
I do think what he was getting at, though, was I can look at something and see it and appreciate it for what it is. That doesn't necessarily, if I look at a woman and see her and appreciate that, I want to sleep with her.
Right.
I think that was the point he was making, but you know what John Barrowman's like. He can be very flippant in his comments, which is most of his chart, granted.
Yeah. All right, so really the last question, and you kind of answered this one too already. How about your family and friends, and how has the gay community reacted? I think the question I want to ask here is, have you had any kind of, like, ostracization from the community or your family?
Ostracization.
Yeah, I think as far as, like, my mom, I can only speak on my mom's behalf. She just kind of said, like, oh, RJ's bi? Okay, are you happy? Okay, and, like, left it at that. And that's all that she really cares about. So whenever she talks about our relationship to other people, she is very sensitive to the fact that it says, like, Will's gay, RJ's bi, they're together. And I don't think that my mom ever, like, bothers trying to, like, coach people. She just, like, sets it as
mom,
it is.
Your mom has and no patience.
And then she's like, if they don't get it, she's like, okay, I'm moving on. Like, I have a whole day of things I need to do. I can't, like, sit here and give a lecture on sexuality to people.
I don't think it was hard because when I first tried to come out to my parents, it was difficult because they definitely couldn't wrap their heads around the bisexual part because they were still of the mindset that you had to choose one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, my brother was the one that kind of said to them, like, what difference does it make? He's in a gay relationship or he's in a same-sex relationship. So whatever, as long as you're okay with that, then that's fine. I know that my parents have seen, you know, all my stuff, you know, talking about bisexuality. But it's not, I mean, we haven't really discussed it, as far as, like, I haven't really kind of checked in with them and be like, do you think that bisexuality is a thing? Do you think? But at the same time, they see that I've been happily in this relationship for years and years and years, and to a certain extent, they're just like, well, whatever, as long as he's happy. And then as far as the gay community goes, I mean, I've gotten a little bit of pushback as far, you know, in person, it's more in the form of a question than it is, having people out or straight up trying to deny the fact that, you know, identify the way that I do. It's more just like, well, if you're going to commit to a man, then why not just, you know,
go ahead and like,
why not just say that you're gay? And then, you know, then that's a conversation that I can choose to have or not have.
And that's so stupid though, because it's like, you're wearing a baseball hat. Why don't you just go ahead and admit to being a boy? Like, you're oversimplifying like a very complex part of someone.
It's only online really that I get the people that flat out just try to say, like, shut up, you're wrong.
So you have like this, like, the difference between having a genuine, like, relationship in person with someone who actually gives a crap about, like, the conversation at hand, or the online community, which is, you reach more people, but then that anonymity brings out the worst, and people, like, they just say the most horrible things about RJ identifying as bi, but
and that's, I mean, that the root cause of that is, you know, I'm sure we could spend, or we have already at least spent a whole episode discussing that, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, anything anybody like to add right now?
No, I was just going to ask if there was anything you two would like to sort of open up the floor to you and anything you want to say at all, sort of anything you want to add.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I hope that, like, we have illustrated through, like, talking about this, how personal sexuality is and how you don't feel like you should have any pressure from other people to identify a certain way, because at the end of the day, you have to live with yourself. And it's no one else's job to make you happy. And if you just own your happiness and learn to, I don't know, stick to your guns and do some self-exploration, I feel like, and kind of like block out all of the noise of what everyone else happens to think, then things will start to make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
What he said.
All the links will be provided on the site. And what I'll say about your last comment was, you know, there is this idea of political gayness and political lesbianism. And, you know, I think that comes from, you know, the oppression of the LB community is that, you know, for so long, there's just been so much attack. And, you know, there's this pressure if you're in a same-sex relationship and bisexual, identify as gay or lesbian because of the political ramifications.
Sure.
And I think we have to, like, you know, say and show that, you know, our community has different issues and different problems, as well as having some of the same problems as gay and lesbian people have. And to, like, say, you know, we have to be honored too.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think, really, honestly, like, I don't see any problem, especially as far as us being politically active with our relationship. I really don't see how I identify affects that, really, because all, you know, what we're saying is that our relationship is valid and deserves, you know, all the same rights and recognitions as, you know, a heterosexual one. That is the case regardless of how either of us identify.
Right. Exactly.
There was just one thing, sort of, before we finish, well, two things I wanted to say, that just from listening to the two of you, I really love your attitude. It's brilliant. You just sort of like, the world doesn't like it, screw them as well. or not, because obviously the pair of you. And also, when I first sort of came into the community, especially into the community of bisexuals in relationships, I had the impression that there was kind of a disparity between those in relationships that appeared homosexual and those that were in relationships that appear heterosexual. And yeah, we've got a few issues that the others don't have. But what I've really found from sort of listening to you two for the last hour or however long it's been, is actually how much we have in common.
Yeah.
And it's actually, that's really opened my eyes to a lot of it, because I there was a lot of things I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, awesome. It's and I will say that kind of not giving a shit what other people think mindset, it really, it can be a bit challenging at first, but I think it's a matter of just realizing that when you care about too much about what other people think, it makes it almost impossible for you to be happy.
Right.
And that's, you know, I think it's, you know, once you manage to get a taste of that, then there's no going back.
Yeah, because because I know I live by the people who matter don't mind.
The people who mind don't matter. Yep.
Always.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
I think we're good.
Nope, I think we're good.
Our dog is cute, and we're sorry if he's been making noise in the background.
I've been trying to like keep him like quiet.
And I just want to tell everybody out there, thank you for watching. And remember, you are not wrong, you're not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual, or gay, or pansexual, or demisexual. But you're great human beings anyway. So thank you all for watching and listening. Bye.
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 All right.
Really, Dami?
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.